but so. We're holding on Mem Zion on the day is about 2/3 of the way down the Almud line to get the choice of. Okay, we're still in the middle of discussing the Karbonis of Shavuos, the Shtei Alechem, and the two Shalmei Sivur, the two sheets that come as Shlomim for the Sivur that come along with them. So continuing on various topics involving them, we've discussed the idea that to a certain extent, the Kvasim and the bread they're not connected to each other. As I said in the Mishnah, if you only had one and not the other, which one do you bring? Sometimes they are connected together, as we talked about after the Shchita, after the Zrika. So now more on that topic. And by the way, I need to correct something I mentioned at the end yesterday. I said that in the end, when we left off with your Gidol statement about that when the Zrika of a Korban has done a Sigil, it doesn't change the status of the Korban so far as Me'ilah. And we said the Gemara had finished off that your Gidol's statement had been schlugged up in the Gemara and Me'ilah, and Tosus wrote a Girsa saying that actually it wasn't schlugged up, although Tosus doesn't like it. I'd mentioned yesterday that Amam leaves it as a suffix. I got that wrong, actually. That's the next thing that we're going to talk about, that we're going to start with today, that Amam leaves it as a suffix. This one, that Amam paskins, in fact, like Rav Gidol, which means, among other things, the Noitza Kalem on the Rambam say that that means, evidently, that Amam accepted the Girsa that Tosus rejects, which is that Rav Gidol has not been schlugged up, and therefore we accept his statement that, indeed, if Zerika was done in a status of Pigul, then that doesn't change the status of the Korban as far as Me'ilah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's where we're holding. The line begins to toast them. Bominate Rav Yumi and Rav Zeira. So Rav Yumi asked Rav Zeira, here's another question, as far as the Kivstak says. Kivstak says, Sheshach and Lishman, suppose you have, you shechted these two sheep, Lishman, for the Korban of Shavuot, like you're supposed to, but then the Ovad Halacham, then the bread got lost. Now, we said before that once the korban was shechted, according to Rebbe, which the halacha is like him, then already there's a zikah, there's a connection established between the kvasim and the lechem, and therefore, ordinarily, what should happen in that case is we should have to dispose of the kvasim, burn them like any stolam kvasim, and then get other kvasim and other lechem and start all over. The question is, Rebbe Yirmiyah is asking, do we have an alternative in order to at least make these kvasim themselves mutter to eat and not have to go into the possible curve.
Can you tell me you cost?
He did. Come on. He did. Okay. So, the question is there a way that we can make it kif tshashach on the shmon, the obad alech, and you shechted these kif tshashach, the shmon, memzayin on the bez, about 2/3 of the way down the omad, and then the bread got lost. So instead of having to say that we should burn the kvasim, do we have an alternative? Do we have the possibility then of sprinkling the blood deliberately, having in mind that there'll be a regular shlomim, and as we learned before, as we learned in Zvachim, as we learned in Or Masechta, that most korbanos, if one of the avodas was done, then the korban is not possible, so it doesn't count for the owner. But here it's not going to count anyway, because the lechem is anyway gone. So can we go l'achila then and sprinkle the blood of these korbanos shaloi l'shman l'hatir basta ba'achila in order to now make that the meat of the korbanos should at least be mutter l'achila? This is Rav Yumiyah asking of Zeira.
Right.
This is Rav Yumiyah asking of Zeira.
After the
shechita was done and now the bread got lost, then. So now the question is, before we brought up the possibility that maybe tznufa is a zikah, and then we said as soon as the tznufa was done, then maybe once that's done, then there's a connection between them, and now if one of them gets lost, then the other ones are also goners, and you have to start all over with new ones. The question is, over there at least, fine, the kvasim themselves are still alive, you can be part of them, you can at least do something with them. Here they're already shechted, so the question is, can we do something in order to at least make the best of a bad situation and be able to eat them as korban?
They were shechted l'shman.
The question is, can we sprinkle the blood shaloi l'shman, and that way they will become regular shlomim. They will no longer be the special shlomim of Shavuot, which those would be possible without the accompanying lechem.
So we're asking, are they going to become?
Are we allowed to make them into regular? Are we allowed to sprinkle the blood, having in mind that they're a regular shlomim? Amalei, so Zera answers him, how could that be? Yesh l'chol dover she'en a kosher l'shmoy, kosher sh'loy l'shmoy. Where do you ever find a case where you have a korban that if it's brought l'shmoy, it's possible, and if you bring it l'shaloy l'shmoy, then it's kosher? Here, if the argument is that it's possible l'shmoy because it's supposed to be along with the lechem, and the lechem is gone, what's the logic to think that you should be able to turn it into shaloy l'shmoy, that would be the proper way of doing it? Where do you ever find such an example? And the Gemara answers right back below, why not? V'hare Pesach, kodim chatzos. Consider the case, if the Korban Pesach was shechted before chatzos of Erev Pesach, where we know that it's only kosher in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, the Enei Kosher L'shmoy, if you were to shecht it on the morning of your Dalad Nissen, then it would be possible if you shechted it L'shmoy as a Pesach, that's not the time for it yet. But the kosher shalai the shmai. But if you were to shecht it as a shlomim, it would be perfectly kosher because you can bring a shlomim any time during the year. So there you have an example where something that's possible shalai the shmai but kosher the shmai. So maybe the same thing over here.
That's what I meant.
Possible the shmai because if you were to bring it as a Pesach, then it's no good. But it's kosher shalai the shmai. So here it would be the same thing. It'll be possible the shmai because it can't be the korbanos of shavuot without the accompanying shei lechem, and the shei lechem are gone. But do it shalai l'shmai, yeah. Okay, the answer is, hoki kamina. Okay, but Reb Zera says, fine, you're right, but I have to fix up. I have to clarify what I meant by my question. Yesh l'chadava sh'nira l'shmai v'nidchem l'shmai. Where do you have a case of another korban where it's able to be brought l'shmai? Then something happened to make it rejected from being brought l'shmai. So not like the case of the Pesach before Chatzos, because then it wasn't near it yet, it wasn't suitable to be a Korban Pesach yet, because the time hasn't come. I want you to find me another example that you're thinking like these Korbanos over here, where originally it was kosher l'shmai, the nidchem l'shmai, now something happened to make it pushed off, it can't be brought l'shmai anymore, in this case because the lechem is gone, the ain't kosher l'shmai, and furthermore, and now you're going to say that if you bring up l'shmoy, it's no longer kosher. The kosher shaloy l'shmoy, and you're going to argue that if it's shaloy l'shmoy, it's kosher. Where do you have such an example? So if you can't find any such example, there's no reason to think that should work over here. Mela, if it wasn't suitable yet, yeah, okay, you could argue like a Korban Pesach, it wasn't the time to bring it yet. But here, where it was the time to bring it, because it is Shavuot, and it was actually shechted l'shmoy, and everything was going fine until the lechem was lost, what's the logic that all of a sudden we should be allowed to do shaloy l'shmoy in order to turn it around? So the answer is, the Gemara says, why not? The loy, why not? I can give you such an example. What about the case of a Korban Pesach that was not brought in the opposite of the case before we were talking about it was brought at a Pesach morning or any other time before that. Now we're talking about Pesach Pass, Yom Tov Pass, now it's after the time. No, the time is the Korban Pesach, there are right there. This is the total puzzle. That's me being out of my mind. Yeah, that's from 6 hours in a day until Shkia.
During those six hours is the only time. There are some things, like it's like Chol HaMoed, but that's because
because those are the time when you can offer the Korban Pesach. No, in principle, that entire 6 hours is the time you could offer the Korban Pesach. As I mentioned yesterday, I mean, first of all, the Korban Pesach was only brought after the Talmud Shabbat Abayim, and typically they would bring the Korban Talmud Shabbat Abayim a little later in the afternoon in order to give time for people to bring private Korbanos before that. But in principle, you could check the Talmud Shabbat Abayim at the place, and immediately after that, start the Korban Pesach. So the entire afternoon is a suitable time for the Korban Pesach, but any time before that, any time after that is not. So after the time, after Yom Tov, after Erev Pesach, rather, has passed, v'shari mot hashana, any time during the rest of the year, or kodim chatzos, or before chatzos, that hagos yisiyunim changes birchas hazevach, changes that to achar chatzos, meaning after the time when it was supposed to be brought. Again, it was meant to be brought l'shmoy, but then the time passed, and now it's disqualified from being a Pesach because the time has passed. And now, again, if you were to shecht it afterwards as a Pesach as possible, and if you were to shecht it as a shlom, it would be kosher. So that should work over here also. Okay, so Reb Zera says, fine, hoki kamina. Okay, let me restate my question again. Yesh l'chadava sh'nir l'shmoy v'nishchat l'shmoy. Where do you have another korban that was suitable to be brought l'shmoy? It was actually shechted l'shmoy. Unlike the korban Pesach you're talking about, which wasn't actually shechted on our Pesach. V'nidchem l'shmoy, now something happened to push it away from being kosher. V'enei kosher l'shmoy, and it's not kosher l'shmoy, but kosher shaloy l'shmoy, and yet it's kosher shaloy l'shmoy. There's no such other example. Therefore, there's no reason to think that it should work over here. And again, the question is, well, why ever not? We had an example a couple of days ago about a toda. We had an example a couple of blocks ago on Memvog. We had a case where a carbon toda was shechted, and then one of the 40 loaves of bread that come with it broke, where we said it turns from a toda into a shlomim. So then you sprinkle the blood, having in mind that it's a shlomim, and you can eat it as a shlomim. So there you have an example of exactly the case we're talking about. Okay, the answer is shiny toda. Come on, it's how you shlomim. Okay, but the difference is, as we said before, toda is actually called a shlomim, as opposed, it was never really pushed off from being a shloim. All it is it was one type of shlomim before, and now it's becoming a different type of shlomim. But you want to argue over here that you should take it from being, you want to argue that you should take it from being a shlomim, a special type of shlomim, which is kodshim, and as a korban seder, and turn it into a different type of korban, which is not kodshim, or which is not a korban seder. You can't do that. So therefore, so Rav Zera is arguing still that I still maintain my point that therefore you can't do that. That therefore you can't do that. On the basis, if he argues a toda is a special case.
Right.
A toda is a special case. But other than that, you have no other such examples. Now, on the other hand, though, I mean, on the one hand, Rav Zera has pointed out he has a valid point. The toda is called a shlomim. On the other hand, the fact is we do have such an example. So what does that leave us with? Here's the case, actually, which I mentioned yesterday, that I'm unless something as a topic, and I thought it was what we had talked about at the end with Gidol Amorav, but it's not. It's actually this case over here that Amam says it's a topic whether you should go ahead and sprinkle the blood as a shlomim in order to be master the boss of Achilla. Because the topic is, do we accept the fact that, okay, we've slugged up Rav Yirmiyah's attempted proof from the Torah, therefore Rav Zera has a point that there's no other case where such a thing is allowed, therefore it shouldn't be allowed either. Or maybe not. Maybe we could say, okay, a Torah is also called a shlomim. This is also a shlomim. So therefore, because it's equivocal, therefore the Rambam leaves it as a topic. Alright, so that's it. So it's a topic whether you can sprinkle it, having in mind that it's a shlomim. If you did. And then if you did, then yeah, it's like the usual rule of a korban where one of the avodas was done shalom l'shma, and then you could eat it.
We have no proof.
Whether you should. No, that is doable. Definitely doable. The question is, are you allowed to? Should you do it?
Okay, we'll
okay, are you allowed to do it? If they did it, then yeah. Then,
we argued it would be okay.
No, but what? Whether you're allowed to do it or not. But if he did it, if he didn't ask. And he went ahead and sprinkled it, having in mind that it's some other korban. Okay, then it's like any other korban that was checked with shaloi l'shma, and rather was done shaloi l'shma. It's still a kosher korban. They can still eat it. Okay. All right. Now let's talk about a case. We said that there are supposed to be two kvasim and two lechem. What happens if you have more than that? And you could have more because, for example, as we've talked about before, what?
Didn't he at least bring more kabbanas and more shulchanas?
Oh, well, yeah, he had more shulchanas and more whatever, but that has nothing to do with this. No, here we're talking about, let's say if he brought more shea lechem. And one reason you might do that, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, and as we've discussed in Tzvachim, is the concept of achrayus. You might want to have backups in case the first ones become possible. So, tana rabbanan. Shachat shnei kvasim al arba chalas. Suppose you shechted the two kvasim, and there are four chalas over there, and you're having in mind that they're all associated. Well, they're not really. Only two of them are associated, and two of them are not. Mm. The problem is you don't know which two are the ones that are associated, which two are the real shei lechem, and which are not. So, moshech shayin mehenu menifan. Therefore, what you have to do is you take two of the ones out of the mix, any two, umenifan, and you weigh them. And the rest of them, the remaining ones, you can redeem them and you can eat them. You can redeem them because they don't have kedushas haguf. Therefore, if they were already in mincha, if they already have kedushas haguf, you couldn't redeem them. The usual rule applies that you can't redeem the nachos that already have kedushas haguf. But here, they never got kedushas haguf, but only two of them did. Therefore you can be part of the other two. Okay, now Rashi later on in the sugya, and in the middle of the next Amud, argue is that the Gemara is going to ask over here whether this is like Rebbe or like Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon. Rashi argues that on the face of it, this part of the Braita already we see, okay, the first part that says that you take two of them and wave them can't be like Rebbe, who said before that they become Kaddish during the Shchita, because already once they became Kaddish during the Shchita, then already you should have to wave all four of them, and yet the Braita is saying you only have to wave two of them. So therefore, Rashi says, later on, the Gemara is going to establish that that this Braita is like Rebbe Elazar of Shimon. Rashi says, further along, that already from this point, you can see it's not like Rebbe. Tosfos disagrees with that point, because Tosfos says that actually not necessarily. When we say Moshech Shtayim Mehenem Unifon, what it could be is you have to wave, together with the two Kvasim, every possible combination of two out of that four. Namely, you would have to do six wavings. You'd take Challah number one and number two and wave them. Then number one and number three. Then number one and number four, then two and four, two and three, two and four, and three and four. That way, no matter what, you wave the two that belong together with.
You do all the combinations.
You do all the combinations, exactly. Six possible combinations. That's what that person points out, that it could be that. And therefore, we could say that that part of the Braisa would work according to Rebbe, but as the Gemara is going to say soon, the next part about being code to them, we're going to have to say is like Rebbe Elazar of Shem. So let's learn through the Sugya. Amru and Rabbanan Kamei de Rav Chisda, so the Rabbanan in the yeshiva said over this Braita to Rav Chisda, and they argued hard to like Rebbe. Apparently this Braita is not like Rebbe, who said that the Shtei Alechem become Kaddish versus Aguf when the Korban is shechted. It has to be like Rebbe Elazar of Shimon, who says that only takes place at the Zrika. Until the Zrika, they don't have Kaddish Aguf. That's what makes it possible to be part of them. The Rebbe, because if you're going to argue that the Braita, the coins of Rebbe, given that Rebbe says that as soon as you shech the karbonis, two out of the four of them become holy, and the problem, two of them have kedusha the guf, okay, two of them have kedusha the guf, two don't, but you don't know which one are which. Now, how are you going to be poida them? So the question now becomes, the poida lahu hecha, where are you going to be poida these two other ones in order to, where are you going to be poida those other two? Are we going to say that you take all four of them outside the Azara and then you poda the two of them outside the Azara? Can't. Given dichtiv lifnei Hashem, since the pasuk says that the shtei alechem have to be offered lifnei Hashem, meaning in the Azara, if the lehu b'yotze, so as soon as you take them out of the Azara, they become pasul. And that means all of them are going to be pasul now, okay? Because we don't know which are the two and which aren't. E gavori, and if you're going to argue, these chachamim continue to reflect. So if you're going to argue, fine, let's decode them inside the Azara, and then let's say, okay, so now what we'll have is we'll have two that are kodesh and two that are cholin. Okay, so we'll argue, let's say the kohenim will go ahead and eat them all in the Azara, because we don't know which are which. Fine, let's say. The problem with that is, the problem with that is, hama ayo cholin la Azara. But that amounts to bringing a cholin into the Azara. Because as soon as you purge them, they become cholin, and now you have cholin in the Azara. And you can't do that. You actually have a discussion among the Mephoshim how they could even eat them in the Azara as well, even forgetting about the problem of bringing cholin into the Azara. Later on, if we're talking about they're going to eat them, you can't eat cholin in the Azara either. But here we're talking before we even get to the point of eating them, as soon as you purge them, you've caused cholin to be in the Azara. So therefore, if this Braita is a coincidental Azara of Shimon, no problem. All of them, they're not cholin to begin with when they're brought into the Azara. They have kedushas damim because they were bought with money from the Lishka. Therefore, no problem. You're allowed to have them in the Azara. Because according to that hymn, they only become kaddish when you sprinkle the blood. So therefore, now when you shechted and there were four of them there, fine, they still retain their same kedushas damim as before. They're allowed to be in the Azara just like any other fish. Now you go and appoint two of them, either inside or now you go and take them all outside the Azara. Fine, they don't have kedushas aguf yet, no problem taking them out of the Azara. You appoint two of them, and you bring two of them back into the Azara, and you go ahead and continue. No, they don't have, according to the laws of Shimon, they have no kedushas aguf until the Zrika. That's what we established yesterday.
Yeah, but I mean...
No, not I mean. They don't have kedushas aguf until... They have no kedushas aguf. Until the Zrika, according to the laws of Rav Shimon. So therefore, according to him, there would be no problem taking them out of the Azara, being poida two of them, and then bringing the other two back inside. Okay, you have a bit of a question that
so Mephoshim... You have to shech them in the Azara, then,
you have to shech Korbanos in the Azara, we know that. We know also that they have to be in the Azara eventually, because they're part of the Korban. What we're saying is, if to begin with you had four of them, where you're only supposed to have two, we would say, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon, no problem. You take all of them outside the Azara. You poda two of them. You bring two of them back in. it's already after the shtick. It's already after the wait. It's already after the. I forgot to mention, by the way, when it comes to the shtei alechem, there's actually two wavings that are done with it. You have one time when they're waved with the kvasim while the kvasim are alive, and then you have another waving that's done after the kvasim are shechted. You wave them together with the cause of the shurik of the kvasim. So here we're talking about the second. So here, when we say Moshe Steinman and Manufin, we're talking about the second.
The way to let him to be alive
with a live kvasim, then you shech the kvasim and sprinkle the blood. After that, you take the chest and the thigh of each of the kvasim and wave them again together with the shtei alechem. So
you wave them
in all six directions like a wall. Okay. So when we said in the Brice over here that you take two of them and we're nifon, we mean the second snurfa, because this is already after the shvita, so the first snurfa has already taken place. So again, so a pointer of a laws of Rav Shimon, no problem. You wave them, that didn't make them kaddish yet. You shechted the kvasim, that still didn't make them kaddish. Kaddish is like, that is. Therefore, all you have to do is you take them all outside of the Azara, two of them now become completely chulin. And then you bring the other two back inside, and you continue where you left off. You continue, you do the zrika, then with the two proper shtei alechem inside, then you wave those two together with the chos of a shurik, and you continue normally. But according to Rebbe, how could you do that? You can't bring them outside, because according to him, two of them already got through the goof, and they're going to become possible by being brought outside the Azara. You can't do it inside, because then you're causing Kolin to be in the Azara. So what do you do? So the point is, obviously this braisa that must be a coincidental laws of Rav Shimon. It can't be a coincidental. Amalahu Rav Chista, so Rav Chista answers them, La'olam Karebi. No, because you could answer the bride that is actually a coincidental. Because of Parif Lahu Gavori, because you could answer that, sure, you are Poyda then inside the Azara. You're worried about Cholin the Azara. No problem. But Cholin Mimela Kahavian. The fact that it becomes Cholin happens sort of on its own. Bringing Cholin into the Azara is a problem. Here, where they were in the Azara and then became Cholin, that's not a problem. You're allowed to do that. You brought them in. They were
problem with becoming chulin
in the Azara
when it was not chulin before.
That's what Rav Chista is arguing. So therefore, so this braisa at least could be taking the view that you're allowed to cause something to become chulin b'Azara as long as you don't actually bring it in to the Azara. That's what we're saying. We're saying the braisa can be made to work according to Rebbe if we assume that Rebbe agrees with that. Okay.
Don't know.
Well, fine, but at least we don't have a reason so far to say that the braisa is not like that. Fine. Amale Ravina Ravashi. However, Ravina asked Ravashi, that doesn't work because Bahatanya, because we learn explicitly in another braisa, Kruk Koydon, Ein Koydon, El Bahut. When you redeem those extra two lechem, you can only do it outside the Azara because of the problem of Kolon Bazara. So therefore, we're back to the question. That wouldn't work according to Rebbe, and doesn't fit with what Rav Chista is saying, that you're allowed to do it with him. Okay, the answer is Halvadi, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon. Okay, that, of necessity, you have to say, that last braisa is like Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon. That you can't be part of them inside. You can't be part of them inside, sorry, you have to be part of them outside, because according to him, you have an alternative. Given that they don't have Yerushas Aguf yet, you should be part of them outside. Don't use Rav Chista's loophole of they only became Kolin in the Azara. Take them out, because anyway, don't have Yerushas Aguf, and there's no problem, they're not going to become possible by being taken out. Rebbe, because you can't say that last price that goes according to Rebbe, because after all, they became possible by being taken out of the Azara, according to him, of necessity. If you're going to be told to them, you'd have to do it inside. So the first price that we can say might be able to work according to Rebbe. But not the second one. The second one definitely would have to be according to Rebbe Elazar.
Because they're going to be possible if you take them.
Because they're going to be right. So the first braisa didn't specify where you parted them. Maybe you parted them inside, maybe you're going to be parted them outside. So if we say you parted them inside, that would work according to them. But if the second braisa, which specifies when you're going to be parted them, you have to do it outside, Rebbe can't agree with that, because according to him, they'd be possible when you take them out. Therefore, of necessity, that second braisa is according to the laws of Rebbe Shimon, that insists that you be parted them outside. Okay. Amalei Rav Acha, well, that's it. So now we have, so far we have, in other words, so when we said, so again, according to Rashi, when the very fact that the braisa started by saying you take two of them and wave them, apparently that part is already not according to Rebbe, because according to Rebbe, you should have to wave all four of them. According to Tosfos, that's not an issue, because what the braisa means is you take them pairwise, you take two at a time, and you take all the six possible combinations, the two of them, and raise them. So that part could work according to them. The next part that said that you pray to them, the first braisa that said that didn't say where you could be prayed to them, Revi would say you could be prayed to them inside the Azara, and then let's say you eat them in the Azara. Some of them might be colon. Okay. So the truth is, right, what we said again, Rav Chisda said the fact that you make them colon in the Azara isn't a problem. It would only be a problem if you brought them in. According to Rashi, actually, it would mean that you eat them all inside the Azara. According to the Rambam, actually, what it would mean is once you pray the two of them, take them out of the Azara and eat them outside because you're really not supposed to eat colon in the Azara. Anyway, be that as it may, then we have a second braisa that said, same thing, except you poured it outside, that was saying would have to be according to the laws of Rav Shimon. Since according to him, there's no reason to happily poured them inside, they're not Kedusha Seguf yet, therefore, better you should take them outside and not use these loopholes of Kulan Baza.
It has to be
according to Rebbe.
Because according to Rebbe, you cannot...
We thought that according to Rebbe, there's no alternative to be poured them at all. Then we have Rav Chisda informing us that according to Rebbe, you could be poured them inside. So the second braisa that says to do it outside is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. But the first one, which didn't say, we could say it means we posted them inside, and that'll be like Rebbe. Okay. However, on the layer of Acha Brei Derov Ravashi, okay, so fine, we've settled that point, but should we say that this braisa that we just discussed, where you have, again, you have two kvasim, you have four chalas, and we're saying there's a way out. We're saying two of the chalas do become kaddish. We may not be sure which two, and you have to pick two of them, which, by the way, before we discuss the question, why isn't an issue of Breira? And one answer is because Breira is only over here, but to begin with, you brought them as a chrayus, and it's not really an issue of Breira. Breira would be if all four of them were in a position of becoming Kaddish, and then you're going to say two of them, you have to figure out which two, then you'd have an issue of Breira. With that said, though, you have some of the Mephoshim who say that maybe this Gemara is going according to the opinion that Breira does work and things are like that.
Breira means
that when you have something retro, that when you decide after the fact what's going to be what, this is going to be truma and this isn't, for example, then it's effective retroactively. We usually say in the Gemara that applies only, that only works with things that are bonum, not things that are raisa. Here we're talking about things that are raisa. So yeah, so those are the two ways of reconciling it. Okay. But, lema tevet yufte de Rabbi Yechon, this whole concept that we're saying that you can have four shteilachim instead of two, and we're saying two of them become kaddish and two of them don't, should we say that this braisa is a contradiction to Rabbi Yechonon? Mia, at any rate.
Because
we have a discussion of Amiroyim that goes like this. Toda sheshachta al shmonim chalas. Suppose that a person shechted a toda together with 80 chalas. Now, normally a toda comes along with 40 chalas. In this case, he brought 80. So the question is, what happened? Chizkiah on the Kodshua Boim Mekev Shmonim. Chizkiah says that similar to what 40 out of 80 become Kodesh, and therefore similar to what we just said about the Shalachim. Rabbi Yechanan Omer, like Kodshua Boim Mekev Shmonim. Rabbi Yechanan says that doesn't work. None of it becomes Kodesh, and therefore you don't have a valid Toda over here.
Because
the Toda tells specifically 40 Chalas.
More can cancel the whole thing.
Yes. So therefore, if Rabbi Yechanan is saying over there that extra chalas are enough to pass the Torah, why shouldn't extra chalas over here be enough to pass the Shteilachim and the accompanying Korbanos?
So the opinions don't hold like that.
The point is, the Braisa seems to contradict Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan can't argue with the Braisa. Rabbi Yechanan is an Amor. The answer is, the Gemara says, Halav mi Ismar Allah, don't you know that there was a further explanation about that machlokes? Omer Abzera, that Abzera clarified what the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Chizki are talking about. Hakol Moedim Hechad Omer Litzishu Aboy Metev Shmonim. Everybody would agree that if to begin with he said, I am bringing 80, but I intend for only 40 of them to become Kaddish out of 80, then everybody agrees to Kodshu that 40 of them become Kaddish, and then we're good, then you take one of each type and give them to the Kohen.
So it would not work if he says, I want 80.
Right.
But if he brings 80 and he says I only want 40.
Right. The reason, the Gemara explains later on in Al Masechta, we're going to get to in about a month, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to get to the reason why Rabbi Yechanan would say, if he didn't say that, the reason why it would be possible, if Chizkiah would say that implicitly he's saying that, even though he's bringing 80, he knows the Kohen only has 40, therefore implicitly he's saying that.
And Rabbi Yechanan.
Rabbi Yochanan holds, on the other hand, that maybe he has in mind, he figures, I'll bring an extra large carbon. an extra large carbon, then you can't. So therefore, but if he explicitly says, lick the shrabbaim keshmainim, to kodshu, no problem, 40 atoms, even a point of yes. So therefore, what is he going to do? He's going to take one from each type and give them to the kohen as usual. 40 of them are going to have the din of lachmei todah. 40 of them are not. Now here, lachmei todah, fine, but the lachmei todah can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. So fine, so then that's not a big deal. You go and you go and bring some money, and you say whichever ones are the 40 are the 40 that are meant to accompany them. And you eat all 80 of them, fine, but at least like this, 40 of them are, the point is you can eat them anywhere in your shlaim, so you don't have the issue of calling the azara. You can take them outside the azara, and then be paid to the ones that you need to. So therefore, hochanami, so the same thing over here with the shtelechem, drama, lichdus rutazi, mechaychaga. Here are the same scenario. We're not talking about where you brought four, having in mind I'm going to bring an extra large carbon. He said, I'm bringing four, but I'm really doing it only because of achrayus. I only intend two out of the four to become kodesh. So fine, Rabbi Yochanan, we'll say the same thing.
So he does voluntary kodesh.
Doesn't matter. The point still remains. The same rules apply to both. The Torah has to have 40, no more, no less. The shtelechem has to have two, no more, no less.
I don't know what to say to it.
It is. I mean, first of all, a person can bring a toad voluntarily anytime they want. But besides that, even a person was in a dangerous situation. Yeah, I mean, the toad says they should bring a toad. It's not an absolute requirement. It's not like if they ate chalav and they must bring a chalav. If they should. If they're a mensch and they have a sense of gratitude to Hashem, then they'll bring the toad in. But yeah. So again, the same thing. The same way as over there, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that if he explicitly stipulated he only intends for 40 of them to become Kaddish, then only 40 become Kaddish. Same thing over here. Rabbi Yochanan might well say over here that if he shechted the two kvasim together with the four chalas and didn't make any such specification, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan might say that all of them are kvasim. But that's a different case. Okay.
Because he did stipulate.
If he stipulated,
in one case he did.
Okay. Another case. Now let's talk the other way around. Okay, so now we're talking about two kvasim and four chalas. How about the other way around? Four kvasim and two chalas. Tony Rav Chanina Tirta Kameh de Rav Yechanan. Rav Chanina Tirta, which I guess means, Rashi says Turata, actually Rashi says, is Shem Mokim, is the name of a place where he came from. Anyway, he taught a braisa Kameh de Rav Yechanan, in front of Rav Yechanan. The other way around, Shachat Abba Kvasim Abbeh Chalas. If he shechted four kvasim, where you really only need two, and there were two chalas, so what do you do then? Moshech Shnayim Mehen, what you do is you take two of the kvasim out of the mixture, and specifically the Zodok Zaman Shaloy Lishman, and you sprinkle their blood Shaloy Lishman. Now, why do you do that? Because, says Rav Chanina Turta, if you don't do that, if Sadta as Achronim, then you're going to lose out on the second one. Now, what do you mean the second one? So Rashi has two explanations. We learned before, we started with the discussion of between Rav Yirmiyah and Rav Zera. We had a case where the korban is going to be possible if you continue the shmoy, because the chalos are lost, because the shtei lechem are lost, and we were asking whether you can sprinkle the blood shaloy l'shmoy in order to at least be able to eat the meat of the korbanot, and Rav Zera argued that can't work. If we take Rav Zera's viewpoint, then what we would say is over here, you have to first take out of these four kvasim, you have to sprinkle two of them shaloy l'shmoy. That way they will therefore be considered, they'll be a korban that was done shaloy l'shmoy, which will be kosher. Now you still have to sprinkle the blood of the other two l'shmoy, and now that way you're able to eat all four of them. Because Rav Chanina Turta is arguing, if you were to do the other way around, if you were to first sprinkle two of them l'shmoy, then what are you going to do with the other two? You can't now, like Rav Zera said, go and now sprinkle the other two shaloy l'shmon, because they were going to be sprinkled l'shmon. Therefore, you would have to discard them. You'd have to burn them as part of the carbonate. And you don't want to do that. If you want to save all four of them, if you want to make that two of them can be eaten, by the Kohenim, a Shalmei Sibur, and the other two can be eaten as a carbon that was brought shaloy l'shmon, then the only way to do it would be to first sprinkle two of them shaloy l'shmoy, and then two of them l'shmoy. That's one explanation. Then Rashi says another explanation is it doesn't mean that you have to do it in any particular order. It just means that you have to do two of them l'shmoy and two of them shaloy l'shmoy. If you were to do all four of them l'shmoy, then whichever ones you do last would be no good, would be costly and you'd have to burn them. So anyway, that's what Chanina Tirta is arguing, that you have to do that in that case. You have to sprinkle two of them l'shmoy and two of them shaloy l'shmoy.
You mean two of them?
Well, two of them shalot as well. Again, according to Rashi's first explanation, first two lishman and then two, and first two shalot lishman and then two lishman. According to Rashi's second explanation, doesn't matter. You just have to do two of them lishman and two of them shalot lishman in some order. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Amalai Rav Yechanan, however, Rav Yechanan says to Rav Chanina Sirta, how can you do that? How can we tell a person, go do an Aveda in order to be Zoche? In order, you're not allowed, we learned at the very beginning of Zvachim, and at the very beginning of Amasekta, that also L'shanes B'Kodshim, that there's an Isser in the Torah, Lo Yechoshim, you're not allowed to have an Achshavat Shaloi Mechayin B'Kodshim. So how can you tell them to go and sprinkle to it? Yeah, so how can you tell? Yeah, I mean, of course he did it. If he did it, he did it, but then you have the dinim, but you're not allowed to do it.
That would be okay.
Yeah, we're not saying it's okay, but if it's done, it's done. But
taking off some bread from the oven.
That's a little bit good, but that's a little bit different, because there is chatei b'shloshi yitzke chaverta. There is, do we say to a person, you should do an avera in order that somebody else will gain? Do we have, yeah, he's mentioning we have a case at the beginning of Shabbos, if a person accidentally put bread into the oven, do we allow somebody else to take it out of the oven before it bakes? In order that the first, no, I think we're talking about the, they were the first person put in deliberately, I think. But
yeah,
so then it's kind of another. The other person wants to take it out in order to save the other person,
to
be over to Rabbanan, to save the other guy from Issa Daraisa. Can you do that? But here we're talking about, we're not even talking about two different people. We're talking about the same person. But still, you don't tell a person, do an Aveda, change the shame of the Kodshim, do it Shalom Lishman, in order to be able to save it and be able to, and be able to eat the Kodshim. So therefore, how can you do that? So the Gemara says, why not? We're gonna bring a proof to the contrary. We're gonna bring a proof on the face of it. Actually, Rav Yechanan, sorry, this is Rav Yechanan continuing with his proof that we don't say Amorid b'chatei b'shrosh atizda, because v'hatznan we learned in a Mishnah in Zochim. If you have limbs of a chakas, which are supposed to be eaten by the Kohenim, that got mixed up with avarim of ola, of an ola, which is supposed to be burnt on the Mizeach. And the problem is also, you can't just say you burn the whole mixture, because we've learned before, we have a din in the Torah, kol shem imenu l'ishim, any korban where part of it is meant to be burnt on the Mizeach, then the shirayim of it are b'val taksiru, then the rest of it, you have an isur in the Torah to burn it on the Mizeach. In this case, part of the chatas is meant to be offered on the Mizeach, the emurim. Therefore, the rest of it is not allowed to be burned on the Mizeach. So you can't say go and burn all of it, because you have the chatas in there. You can't say go and eat it, because you have the evorim of the oila in there. What do? Rabbi Eliezer oimer yutnu l'mayla. So Rabbi Eliezer says, no problem. You put them all onto the Mizeach. We consider the meat of the chatas as if it was wood, and there's no issue to put wood on the Mizeach. So therefore,
how can we do that?
Because that's what we learned. We had a whole story about it in Zvachim. Rabbi Eliezer says royin. Rabbi Eliezer holds this concept of royin that we're able to imagine that in this case that these Eivorim are really firewood, or that blood we had in some cases is water, etc. Yeah, we had many, many. The Chum didn't agree with that, right?
But do they agree with it in Tisrei Heter, Royin, Esa, Dam, Kilos, I mean, Royin, Esa, Yayin, Kilos?
When it comes to Min Bimino, when it comes to Bidul, yeah. we do say that. So when it comes to the Min Bimino versus Min Bishan, this is something different, yeah. He was in a Bidul, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Rabbi Eliezer says, you put it all on the back. Royin, Esa, Chatas, Lamai, Lakilu, Yitzim. You consider the meat of the Chatas as if it was wood. The Chum say, no, you can't put any of it on the back. To uber the rough, and you have to leave them all until they spoil or until they become fossil. And then you have to burn them. So the point is, Rabbi Yechon is saying, "Am I now according to the Chachamim? Why should you have to burn them all? Why should you have to discard all of them? Lema, amorid b'chatei b'shvil shetizke. L'chora, we should say, go do an avera. Put this meat on the mizbeach of a chatas, which is not supposed to be put on the mizbeach, in order to be zeicha. So this way, you're not destroying the oila. This way, you're going to be able to be makir oila. The fact that we don't say that, the fact that the Chachamim don't say, be over with the chatas in order to save the oila, shows that you don't hold this concept. So by the same logic over here, you're not going to say you should sprinkle the blood of two of these kvasim, shalo l'shman, in order to be matir them and the other two. You can't do that. You know what I said? That's not really a proof, because, we could say that go do an Avera within the chatas itself in order to in order to save the chatas itself. Let's say we could say that. But to say do an avera involving the chatas in order to save the oila, in order to do a mitzvah with the oila, lo yamrina, we're not going to say that. So therefore, in that case, we're talking you're doing an avera by offering the pieces of the chatas in order to save the oila, which is mixed in with them. That you can't do. That the Mishnah is saying you can't say you can't do. Well, it's an avera in one object in order to do a mitzvah with a different object. But here we're talking about the same object. What Rav Chanina Tirta is suggesting is, in his braisa, is that you sprinkle sprinkle the blood of two of these kvasim, shaloi l'shman, in order to save them themselves from having to be burnt, in order to be able to eat them themselves as korbanos. That's different. Maybe you can do that. Okay. So the question is, v'chadu milta mi'amina? Okay, but let's continue the discussion. Do we say, chatei v'shvil shetizke, even when you're talking even within one object? But I'll bring you another braisa which shows the contrary.
One second. Why do we want one?
Because we're talking about one. No, what we mean two. We mean one thing, like a unit of two animals which constitute one unit. The two extra kvasim over here are one unit. I mean, the same din would be if we had three kvasim, then you'd only have one extra animal. The point is, you have extra
kvasim constituting one unit.
Well, no, because you have two of them. Again, two of them have to be brought because it's Shavuot. We're talking about the extra one or the extra two that the Gemara is discussing over here are extra. If you don't need them. So that's Rav Chanina Tirta is suggesting that you should sprinkle the blood of the extra ones, shaloi l'shmai, in order to be able to eat them. Rav Yochanan is arguing you can't do that. The proof from the Mishnah and Zvachim over there about the Evrei Chatas and Evrei Ola isn't a valid proof, because there you're talking about Chatas versus Ola. Here we're talking about within the two Karbonis themselves. So therefore, let's continue the discussion. Okay, but do we say this concept, Chatei v'shvil shetizke, even within one object itself? Vahatanya, we learn in a braisa, kivse atzeres sheshoftem shalei l'shman, these two kvasim, here we're talking now, this braisa is talking two kvasim, regular, not the yet extra ones, not the yet four, but you have two kivse atzeres, sheshoftem shalei l'shman, if we sprinkle them shalei l'shman, we sprinkle the blood shalei l'shman, rather you shechted them rather, shalei l'shman, oy sheshoftem bein l'fnei zmanon bein l'achla zmanon, or you shechted them before or after the proper time, meaning before or after Shavuot. Shavuot, remember, in Eretz Yisrael, was only one day. So you shechted them Erev Shavuot, so you shechted them Motzei Shavuot, whatever. The din is, Hadam Yizorek, you do sprinkle the blood on the carbon, you do sprinkle it Shaloi L'shman, because already the shechita was done Shaloi L'shman, so you continue sprinkling the blood Shaloi L'shman. V'abosu Ya'achol, and you can eat the meat of it. It's not, again, as usual with the carbon that was brought Shaloi L'shman, it's a kosher carbon, it just didn't count for the owner, so the Sibur wasn't yoitzer with this. If it's before Shavuot, they're still going to, if this happened before Shavuot, they're still going to have to bring other ones. If it's after Shavuot, it's too late. The im hoist the Shabbos. But let's say you shechted them shaloi l'shman, and suppose that the day before, let's say in other words, again, we have two cases in the Braisa. One where you shechted them on Shavuot, but shaloi l'shman. The other where you shechted them before or after Shavuot. Now we're saying, what if in the first scenario where you shechted at Shaloi L'shman, what if Shavuot that year was on Shabbos? Now the wrinkle is that only Korbanos Sibur are Dreis HaShabbos. Korbanos Yochid are not Dreis HaShabbos. This is not a Korban Sibur anymore because it was shechted at Shaloi L'shman.
So what do you do?
So now we have the question, what do you do? So what do you do now that it's Shabbos? By the way, the reason why the Chiddushim Amichos and Larashva explain the reason why Rashi is forced to say that the case of Shabbos is only in this case over here where he shechted at Shaloi L'shman, why couldn't it equally well be talking about the case where he shechted it before or after Shavuot? He says, because if Shabbos doesn't come out on Shavuot, what's the guy? The guy should know better than to shecht it on Shabbos. But if he shechted it on Shabbos, which is Shavuot itself, okay, he shechted it at Shaloi L'shman for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the point is, so if it was Shabbos, if Shavuot came out on Shabbos, Lo Yisrael, he should not... So he, well, nowadays the first day Shavuot can't be on Shabbos. But in those times, when they were Makadosh, up here, it could be. Yeah. So, in that case, Lo Yisrael, so you should not continue with sprinkling the blood of the Korban, because once it's not a Korban Sibur, the Avodah of it is not Dursa Shabbos anymore. By the way, you have the question that Mephoshim asked, so what's wrong? What would be about sprinkling blood on Shabbos that would be also anyway? What malacha of Shabbos would that be? They talk about a couple of interesting possibilities. One of them is that maybe because the sprinkling makes the korban mutter to eat, therefore it's like tikkun, and it's like fixing something on Shabbos. Right. Same way as you're not allowed to take truma and ma'aser d'rabanan on Shabbos because that makes the food able to be eaten. The same way over here, you couldn't do this. That's one. It's not really like nolad. It would be it's a tikkun. You're making it. Yeah. No. Yeah. But yeah, another explanation that Shiferet Yisrael suggests that maybe the zrika
would be a
mitzvah d'rabanan. Right. And usually we say d'rabanan. Usually we say in Shavuos b'mikdash, but here we did something wrong to begin with, attracted to the Shmon, then we don't give him that dispensation. Anyway, the Tiferet Yisrael gives another suggestion. He says maybe the issue of zrika is because it's seveyach, because you're dying and there's veyach with the blood. Anyway, whatever it is, you're not supposed to be doing the zrika on Shabbos, the im zorach, but if he did go ahead, the dieved, and sprinkle the blood, fine, kursa, the korban has been accessible, and now you should be going and burning the emurim that evening. Because you still don't have a heter to burn the emurim on Shabbos, because again, it's not a korban sibra anymore. So in the evening, you can burn the emurim, fine, they won't be compulsive by being left till the evening, they can be burned all night, and then you'll be able to eat the meat of the korban. Now, the question is, you're telling me he shouldn't be sprinkling the blood, which means we're going to allow it to become possible, because as soon as it comes Shia, then the blood is going to be possible. So, Amai, now why? Now, Lahora, we're talking within one korban over here. Lema amoid chasei b'shvil shetizke. Why don't we say, do the Avera, be over on the Isser of Zrika, whatever exactly the nature of the Isser is, in order to be Zocha and be able to eat the korban. The fact that we don't say that, the fact that we tell him a hachila, don't go sprinkle that blood, means that we don't say chasei b'shvil shetizke b'shabbos. And then it means that we don't say chasei b'shvil shetizke, even though it's all within one object, it's all within one korban. So therefore, that goes back to the Yechanan's point over here, that you don't say that even within one korban. Okay, the Gemara says that's not necessarily a proof, because amoid chatei b'shabbos, kadesh etiske b'shabbos, aminim. Fine, to say you should do the Avera on Shabbos in order that you'll be able to accomplish something on Shabbos itself, maybe that we would say. Amoid chatei b'shabbos, kadesh etiske b'chol, but here you're telling him, be mechal Shabbos, do something which is also on Shabbos, in order to make it mutter to eat the meat, must is Shabbos, which is already a weekday, loy aminim, that we're not going to say. So that's not necessarily a proof. Again, that's not necessarily a proof for our case over here of the four kvasim, where it's all taking place on Shavuot itself. Where if we allow them to sprinkle at Shalom Lishman, they'll be eating the korban on Shavuot itself. That doesn't necessarily prove from that case, where anyway you can't eat the korban until after Shabbos. Because you can't cook you can't roast it until after Shabbos. Tosfos actually brings up an interesting point. So why can't they eat it raw on Shabbos? Normally you don't, but in fact later on, much later in Amos Esther, we're going to talk about a case where actually they did have to eat a korban raw.
So maybe in this case
they should. So therefore, maybe you should argue that we're going to have a case involving the korbanos of Yom Kippur. We'll get to it later on in the 10th parak, 10th to 11th parak or so. That's that success. But anyway, it's mentioned incidentally, although in a different context in Yomah. Because the Bavlium of the Bavlium how you Alexandrium how you we'll get there. Wait another month and a half, as Hashem will be there. Anyway, the point is that the Tosfos argues, why doesn't the Gemara answer back to the here fine? Why can't he sprinkle the blood on Shabbos in order that they should be able to eat the korban raw on Shabbos? And Tosfos answers, that's not considered a schus. In other words, when we talk about later on, when we talk about on that test, about that cook, about the Kohanim eating that particular korban of Yom Kippur war, the purpose of it was not so much in order to have the mitzvah of eating the korban, but rather in order to avoid it becoming noiser. Here we're talking about, as far as accomplishing the mitzvah of eating the korban, Tosfos is arguing, you're not really accomplishing that mitzvah by eating it raw. Because, no, not from Zreach Nechayach, it has to do with burning the pieces of the korban on the Zreach, but it has to do with not L'mosh Cholag Dula. A korban is supposed to be eaten in a royal manner, not like that where you're just eating it as raw meat. Tosfos doesn't really spell it out in so many words. They just say the angel chus. It's not considered a chus. The angel lachate b'kach. So you can't do an avera in order to allow such a thing. The Rebbe talks about it briefly, in a footnote in a sticha in Chelik Gimel. The Rebbe talks about the idea that the reason is because you're really only accomplishing the mitzvah of eating the korban when you're eating it in the normal way, cooked l'mosh cholagur in a royal type of manner. Over here, all you'd be accomplishing is to prevent the korban from being noiser. That's not a valid reason
right.
to go sprinkle those in blood on Shabbos.
You need to accomplish something in order to
be allowed to do the Avera, and here you're not really accomplishing something positive, right? Okay. Fine. So the question is, are you telling me that we don't say amud chateh the shidosh tizkeh when the object that you're doing the aveda with and the object that you're going to save are two different things? I'll give you an example where we do say that. And that would contradict Rav Yochanan, who says that you don't even say it, that you don't say it within one object. And so far, the explanation that we're saying that maybe we would say it within one object if it's all on one day, but now it's Shabbos versus weekday. But here we're going to see from this next case that you see that you do that even with two completely separate objects. Because Vatsnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Trumas, Chavis shal Trumas shenishvara b'gat al yena, if a barrel of Truma breaks in the upper vat. So we learned back in Avodah Zarah, when we talked about the wine basing process, you have the upper vat, which is where they crush the grapes, then or panel or some. No, the problem isn't the nickel. The problem is that truma is going to end up being mixed in with corn. The problem is you don't have much time when you call it truma. What's going to wind up happening? If you had a good time with corn and truma, then the truma would be bottled, and then you have no problem. But because you don't have 100 times as much, therefore, if you allow the truma to drain down from there, the result is all of the wine in the bottom vat and the bottom vat is going to be altered for you because you can't drink it because it's truma trainer. You can't get it out. You can't drink it because it's truma trainer. There's nothing you can do with it. So you want to save it. So what do? Moser of Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua both agree. Unlike later on in the Mishnah, so like this, they both agree. She yachal ha'chum and Rabbi Yeshua. If the situation is such that you are going to be able to save at least a revius of the truma wine without making it tumah, meaning in other words, let's say, when the barrel breaks, you don't happen to have kalim that are tahor right there on site. But let's say you could get something within the next 5 minutes. And by the time you return in the next 5 minutes, most of the wine will have spilled out into the bottom vat and become truma tmeya, which is also to use. However, you'll still get there while there's still a revius up in the upper vat, and you'll be able to save that in the tahor case. So if you're able to do that, both Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua agree, yastil, then you have to do that. You have to allow the rest of the truma to be spilling into the colon, and it's going to go to waste, because you have the possibility of saving at least one revius of the truma vital. So you'll save that.
How?
Again, if you have a barrel of truma broke in the upper gas, it's starting to spill into the lower gas, you can go and run and get a tahor keli in order to save it, and have a person who's tahor be able to hold that keli and catch it. So you'll be able to save, by the time you get back, not all the wine will have spilled out. There'll be at least a revius of it left that hasn't become tahor yet. Okay. Then Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua both agree you have to do that. As an alternative to saving it in the truma. What are the alternatives over here? All
you just save it. If you save
right.
But you'll make more money if you save it.
You would right. Okay. So what it is?
Because
you'll save
the whole. Below.
Right. In other words, the truma itself is a goner either way. Most of the truma is going to be a goner either way. That's the point. If what we're saying is like this. The scenario that we're going to talk about next in the mission is if it's impossible, there's no way that you're going to be able to save that truma, any amount of it, the tahala. It's either going to become tameh there in the upper vat, so you're going to save it using kalim that are tameim, or you're going to allow it to drain into the lower vat that's going to become tameh over there by getting mixed in with the kolam tameim. So if you're not able to save even a revius of it, that's going to be the machlokes in the mission. If you're able to save at least a revius of it, even though that means the rest of it is going to go to waste, and it means also the rest of the cholin, therefore, is also going to have to go to waste. Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua are still saying, nonetheless, you have to do that. You have to do a mitzvah even in the course of your financial loss.
Because if you catch it with tumah and you make it all tumah, you catch it in time, you'll save the whole bottom because it will be buckled of meah.
Well, maybe because it'll be Bartolomeo, because you'll save it before it even reached there, is the point. Whatever.
Oh,
so, okay. The point remains that if there's enough time to be able to get a Kaylee, which is Tahar, and be able to save at least the Revius of the Strum of Wine, the Tahara, then you're obligated... Again, no. One thing. What's in the upper vat is gone either way. Because if you don't have Kaylee that are Tahar on the spot, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to save the whole barrel of wine using Kalim that are Tomei, and then the Truma is going to become Tomei, and there's nothing you can do with Truma Tmeya. No, it's Truma Tmeya, which is also to you. Or it's going to drain into the lower vat, and then not only is it going to go to waste, but also the colon are going to go to waste, because now you're going to have Truma that is mixed with colon, which is all Tomei. So therefore, so again, if the situation is such that you have enough time to be able to save at least some of the wine, some of the truma wine, the tara, then you're obligated to do that. It means all your colon that are in the bottom vat are going to go to waste, because truma is going to meanwhile be draining into them. Doesn't matter. You have to do that. The imlach, because at least you have the chance to save the vias of the truma wine and keep it covered in the upper vat.
This is the lower vat.
A barrel broke in the upper vat. Like this, your first concern is, you being a balabas, you not wanting to lose a whole vat full of cholin tmei and wine, you want to be able to stop that trimmer from reaching you. The problem is, the only way to stop it right now is using kalim tmei, which means you're going to be causing trimmer to become tmei, which you're not allowed to do that. So we do like this. We look at the situation. If the situation is that you have enough time to run and get Kalim that are Tahar while at least the Revius of the Truma wine is in the upper vat, then you are obligated to do that. You're not allowed to go and say, I'm going to use Kalim Tmeim to keep that wine from spilling any further and ruining my Cholin wine. You can't do that. You have to allow your colon wine to become ruined by the truma getting drained.
You make a choice between even a minimal amount of
Because you're able, because the situation is such that you would be able to keep some of the truma to her, then you are obligated to do that, even if it means that you're losing all of your colon. Yes.
And that's because?
Because that's how it is, because you have a mitzvah to keep truma to her. You're not allowed to make truma to her. So therefore, you have to do that. The imlav, if not, if the situation is that by the time you get Kalim that are Tahar, there's not going to be any time, all of the wine is going to end up draining into the lower vat. So what do? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tere Vititame. Rabbi Eliezer says, nevertheless, let it all drain down. Let it all become Tomei. Let it all have to go to waste. But Al Yitamena Biyad. You're not allowed to be Mitame with your own hand. You're not allowed to actually take Kalim Tmeim and try to catch the Well, it's the same thing, essentially.
Well, the first one is if you can save a Revius, but if not, just save the whole thing below.
No. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, either way, you can't save it using Kalim Tmeim. If you have Kalim Tahurim available, then good. If not, tough luck, you got to take a loss either way.
But you're not allowed to save...
You're not allowed to take Truma Tahurim and catch it using Kalim Tmeim. Even though by doing that, you're going to be saving your Kalim Tahurim, Rabbi Yehuda is saying you're never allowed to be the Tamas Truma B'Yadah.
He's more machmir than Rabbi Yeshua.
Well, yeah. There, Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says no. In that case, after tamen biyad, you are allowed to be matame by hand, meaning you can catch it in kalim tmeim in order to save your cholin. But now, what are we talking about? There, you have an example. Rabbi Yehuda is telling you, not Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshua rather is telling you, do an avera, be matame the truma in order to save your cholin to hurt it. So we see that you could do that. You could do an Aveda with one object, the Truma, in order to save something else, the Cholin. Okay, but first of all, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, and second of all, the Halacha is usually like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Yehuda. But anyway, if there's no other alternative, and in particular, if there's no time to get Kalim to hurt him and save a Revius of the Truma. By the way, Rashi explains over here, Tanena Biyad means that you're allowed to catch it in Kalim Tmeim. The Rambam actually understands Rabbi Yeshua a little bit differently. He says, even Rabbi Yeshua is not going to allow you to catch the wine in Kalim Tmeim, which are Tomei on a Daraisa level. What he'll allow you to do is to catch the wine with your bare hands in a case where your hands are only Tomei Drabon, Tumas Yadayim. Because there, you'll only be in the common on the bottom level, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua is going to be making on that. Anyway, the point is, still, the question is, that Rabbi Yeshua is allowing you to do an Aveda with Truma in order to save the Cholin. Could we see you able to do that? The answer is shiny. The hero, also in the case of the four Kvatim, the answer is shiny house, and yeah, but it's different over there. The Latruma Ka'azla, because either way, that Truma is going to become Tomei. If it falls into the Tchulim, it's going to become Tomei. If you catch it in Kalim's name, it's also going to become Tomei. So therefore, either way, you're not really doing anything that wouldn't have happened otherwise. So it's not a proof, not really a proof for our case, not really a proof for our case. Right. Okay. Another thing, Ki Asir of Yitzchak, when Rav Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael, Tomei, he taught a bright. So the point is, we thought to say that there you have a proof where when it comes across two different things, that you can do an Aveda with one to save the other one. And we said you don't have a proof one way or the other. The halacha still ends up being like the Chanina Tirchas Braisa, because we haven't really schlugged it up. We argued that maybe you don't have the thing, maybe you do, but we didn't really find a solid proof one way or the other against it. The answer ultimately would be that in that case, where you had four kvasim, the answer would be that you take two of them, sprinkle the blood of them shaloi l'shman, and then that way all of them are mutter to you. So we will allow them to do an aveda in order to of sprinkling shaloi l'shman,
even though we didn't find a proof yet.
Right, so we didn't find a proof to the contrary. Okay.
We didn't find a proof, yes or no.
Well, right, but fine. On the other hand, Rachanina Tircha does have a braisa, so, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what price? Yeah. He started by quoting a price of 20 and a tier attack. I made it a Vietnam. There's this statement that he said over here about the four kvasim and the two chalas with a price.
Oh, about
sprinkling two of them shalom l'shman, yeah.
That's a price?
It was a price. Okay, Rabbi Yechanan can still question whether it was a valid price, but since we didn't slug it up, then yeah, we have to assume it's a valid price.
I didn't even
understand
that it was a
price. Okay. Another case. He also said of Yitzchak, when Rabbi Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael, Tommy, he taught another braita, another din as follows. Kivseh says, Sheshachtem Shaloikim Mitzvotam. If you shechted the kvasim of Shavuos, Shaloikim Mitzvotam. What does Shaloikim Mitzvotam mean? So Rashi has two explanations. One is it means Shaloi Lishman. The other explanation, Rashi says, which you bring, yeah, the usual expression, Shaloi Lishman, here the expression, Shaloikim Mitzvotam. But then Rashi says a second explanation, which he says, I heard from my Rebbe and from most of the Goyim, Rebbe Nagershim on the Omud over here also says it this way, that Shaloikim Mitzvotam means these sheep are supposed to be within a year old. They brought older ones, he brought sheep that are within 2 years. However, Rashi doesn't like that expression because Sheshachtem Shaloikim Mitzvotam implies that there was a problem in the Shechita, as opposed to over here, there's a problem when you first bring them to begin with. Tosfos discusses the pros and cons of it actually, and Tosfos actually likes that second explanation better. That it means they brought 2 year old ones instead of 1 year old ones.
Yes, I remember that from somewhere else.
Okay. I'm not sure. Anyway, so he shechted them shaloikim mitzvotam according to either of these explanations. Stolen their parcel, either again because they were shechted shaloi l'shman or because they were brought older than they're supposed to be. Or to over the Rostan, and therefore they have to be left overnight, the Yetzel Beit HaSefer, and then they have to be burnt. It would be a bizarre to burn them right on the spot, so therefore you have to leave them until they became possible.
You burn them in the morning.
You burn them the next day, right. Tosfos actually brings up the point that we learned in Zvachim that only if Pesach and Mechatas are possible of Shalom Shimon. Why are we bringing in Kivtei Aseres over here? But Tosfos just says the like pasuk leilapukis shlomim. Tosfos says because you couldn't say as a definitive thing to exclude shlomim. That's one answer. Tosfos says, and the Mefoshim explain what Tosfos may mean by that is that if the Mishnah in Zvachim had said over there that everything is possible except for Pesach and Chatas and shlomim, then you would misunderstand that it means all shlomim, and it doesn't. It would only mean the shlomim tibur. So therefore, he couldn't say shlomim. So therefore, he left it out. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak over here, that's included also. Okay, Tosfos also answers another answer that Rabbi Yitzchak could say that Mishnah is only talking about korbanos that come independently here, essentially the sheep only coming because the Shnei Lechem are coming with them. Anyway, Rabbi Yitzchak is saying they're possible if, again, according to Rashi's first explanation, if they were shechted shlo l'shman, they're completely possible and they have to be burnt. Amr of Nachman, so Rabbi Nachman says to Rabbi Yitzchak, that depends. Mar de makish lulachatas, you, Rabbi Yitzchak, who make a hekesh between the Shalmei Sibur and a chatas, tonis stolen. So therefore, you are learning that they're possible, just like a chatas is possible, so these are going to be possible. Tonis, they're lady, but you should know, there's a tana, there's a brisa from the yeshiva of lady, Degoma Shalmei Chovim, Shalmei Nedava, where he learns the Shlomim that are obligatory, namely these Shalmei Tzibur. He learns them from Shlomim that are Nedava, which Shalmei Nedava are kosher, so Shalmei Nedava, like most Kabbalists, Tani Tzedim. For Levi, he teaches that they're kosher. So he says, sort of Nachman is telling him he should know that Levi's Braita disagrees with you. The Tani Levi, namely Levi taught a Braita as follows. The Braita starts by talking about various dinim involving the korbanos of the Nazir. Tani means the Braita. The Braita starts talking over there about that you have certain korbanos that you have certain korbanos that are supposed to be within a year old. Some other ones were supposed to be within their second year. So you have certain korbanos of the nazir, for example, his asham has to be within a year old. If he brings it as a 2 year old animal, then it's possible. But the braisa continues, the shal shal shalmi nazir, but the other shlomim, like the shlomim of a nazir. Now the shlomim of a nazir are also obligatory. They're like the shalmi tzibur in that sense, because he's obligated to bring them. No, but they're still obligatory. Sheshachtan shaleikim mitzvasan. So if he shechted them not according to their mitzvah, again, either shaloi lishman, either shaloi lishman or a different age than they're supposed to be, because the shlomim is the other way around. The shlomim is supposed to be a ram, which is supposed to be an animal in the second year. So if he brought an animal under a year old, either way, shaven for their kosher as a shlomim, but like all the lebailim l'shem chayva, they don't count for the owner as his chayv. You have to bring another one.
Good for balance.
They're good as usual. The shaloi lishman, right. However, they can only be eaten for a day or a night, they still have the dinim of the shlomim of a nazir, unlike regular shlomim. However, you don't have to bring the 20 loaves of bread with them that a nazir would have to bring, because the nazir, after all, is not becoming mutter with them, they're not a proper shlomim. They don't require the zroya, like this with the ram of a nazir. The shlomim of a nazir usually takes the leg of it after it's cooked and give it to the kohen together with the other part. Here, you don't do that. So therefore, so you see that Levi is saying that even a shlomim like that, which is a choiva, if it was offered shaloi kemitzvah, then it's kosher. Just that it doesn't count for the owner's choiv. As opposed to you, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Nachman is telling him, you, Rav Yitzchak, are saying that such a thing would be, that a shlomim that's obligatory if it's done shaloi l'shman would be possible. You should know Levi said that it's kosher. Okay. The Gemara says, Macy. Okay, I have a contradiction, though. A braita says, a contradiction to Rav Yitzchak. Now, Rav Yitzchak is quoting a braisa, so fine, a braisa against a braisa, but still, if we have another braisa, which the Gemara is going to be quoting over here, and which actually comes from Tesefta, which is a more reliable braisa, then maybe it means that Rav Yitzchak's braisa is mistaken. So the braisa says, Osham ben Shana v'Hedi ben Shtayim, in the cases where a person is supposed to bring an Osham within a year old, for example, a Nazir Tameh or a Masorah, the Hegi Ben Shtayim, and instead he brought an animal in a second year, or the other way around, Ben Shtayim, he's supposed to bring one that's within its second year, like an Hasham Zelus or Hasham Melus, right. And the Hegi Ben Shana, and he brought one that's within a year old, Psulin, and they're possible, which are over Sarasa, and they have to be left over to become Noser, the Yesul of Beta Surva, and they have to be burnt.
That's
a right. No, wait. Aval Olaf Nazir of Olaf Yeladis for Olaf Masorah, but when it comes to the Ola of a Nazir, or of a woman who just gave birth, or of a Masorah, which all of those are also supposed to be within a year old, Shahoyu ben Shibnei Sheshanim, they were within their second year, the Shachdan, and he shafted them, even though they were supposed to be younger, Shevin, then they're kosher. Klolo Sholdava, because the general rule is, call a kosher of Olaf Nadava, whatever would be kosher with an Ola that a person is bringing as a Nadava, where when it comes to a Nadava, there's no limit on age. I mean, you can't bring an animal that's too old, but there's no specific limit of a year or 2 years. But then, kosher of Olaf Kodra, so it'll also be kosher even by an Ola that's obligatory.
What's that? Because?
Because it's kosher, it had it been a Nadava, therefore it's also kosher, even though in these particular cases, it's obligatory. In other words, again, the logic is, again, that we say that an Ola, given that a person could bring an Ola voluntarily, and it could be an animal within its first year, or it could be an animal within its second year,
yeah.
So therefore, even when it comes to the Yeledis and the Masorda, even though they're supposed to be bringing, that's true, but nevertheless, Rashi brings from later on in our Masechta, Kosan Behedi Godol, that if a person makes a neder to bring a small animal, and they brought a larger animal instead, and for them, then it's kosher, and they were yosed and edred. So the same thing over here. They were obligated to bring a younger animal. They brought an older animal. No problem. That's the rule. However, but whatever, on the other hand, whatever cases would be possible by a chassas is also possible by an osham, chutz mishaloi l'shmoi, except for where it was shechted shaloi l'shmoi, where it's possible by a chassas kosher by an osham. So the point is that So this last braisa that we just said is saying that you can learn an oila that's obligatory from an oila that's voluntary. Meaning, in other words, Rav Yitzchak was saying before that the Shalmei Tzibur are pasul because he makes a hekesh with a chatas, namely the pasuk mentions the chatas of Shavuos in the same pasuk as the shtei kvasim. So therefore he says, whatever applies to the chatas applies to the shtei kvasim. This braisa is telling us, even though when it comes to the Yeledes and the Masorga, you also have the chatas is mentioned in the same pasuk as their Ola. Nevertheless, you don't make a hekesh between the chatas and the Ola. We instead say that since it would be kosher had it been a regular Ola, then it's kosher if it's a required Ola, and we don't make a hekesh with the chatas. Well, then that contradicts the Yitzchak braisa that said that you make a hekesh because they're in the same pasuk.
Here they are.
They're in the same pasuk, and yet we're saying it's kosher. And we still don't make the hekesh and say that's pasuk. So it's ruled. That's the question. The answer is, I'm kind of Levi. Okay, you can answer that this last braisa that we just quoted is also from Levi's yeshiva. Even though it's intercepta, and most braisas intercepta come from Uchiyah and Rabashiyah, here we can say that this one was one of Levi's braisas that made it into the system. So therefore we have two braisas from Levi, but meanwhile Rabbi Yitzchak has his braisa, which fine, it's no contradiction. It's fine, you can have Levi's opinion, and then there's another opinion. We still haven't slogged up Rabbi Yitzchak yet. Okay.
Well, would, obviously, the second braisa was not
from Levi. Was not from Levi, right. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, then.